The odd number verses, please respond in the even number verses, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Well, if you couldn't tell, Psalm 8 is a hymn of praise to God. It's actually the only psalm of the 150 psalms that we have to address God directly throughout the whole psalm. A lot of psalms will pivot. Instead of just always talking to God, they'll talk to the reader as well. Psalm 8 begins by acknowledging the majesty of God's name. O Lord, our Lord, verse 1 says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then proceeds to give evidence as to why his name is so majestic, starting in verse 2. It says, from the lips of, well, it says you first, in the end of verse 1, you have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, verse 2 is actually the most difficult verse in this whole psalm. Now, I remember paper I had to write on it most of the time was devoted to, how do you make sense of verse 2? What does it mean that from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Well, notice the word praise. If you have your Bibles out, especially the Pew Bibles, you see the little letter C next to the word praise, and that's a footnote. And so what do you do with footnotes? You look down. All right, C, verse 2. It says, or strength. So there's another reading of this psalm where there are other manuscripts that use the word strength there instead of praise. So therefore, if that is the case, it reads like this. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. All right, well, strength and foes and enemies, okay, that makes a little bit more sense, but what does that have to do with children and infants? Well, here's why I think this might make a little more sense with the word strength rather than praise. As I argued in my paper, I should just get the paper out, right? If we think about what Paul says in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, Paul says this, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God is so great and majestic that he can demonstrate his surpassing greatness through that which is foolish and weak, like children, all right? I have a couple. Hopefully I'm wiser and stronger than them, but, you know, they'll grow up. They'll be smarter and stronger. Now, while God's glory can clearly be seen, when we look up at the night sky, especially tonight, because what's happening tonight? Eclipse. Yeah, not just an eclipse. What kind of eclipse is this? This is like a supermoon blood wolf eclipse. It sounds amazing. It's supposed to happen right during the Chiefs and Patriots AFC Championship game. So if you watch that game, you won't even need to go outside because they're going to show it like 100 times probably, all right? Especially when a weird play happens. Oh, there's the eclipse. Must have happened, right? It must be something. But when you look up an eclipse, especially like a lunar eclipse, which is amazing, a solar eclipse is even better. Wait for it, April 6, 2024, Ohio, okay. You're just blown away by it. You're just, it's amazing. And I know those things do not happen as often. But even if you just go out and just look at the night sky, look at the stars on a beautiful, clear night. I know how often, like, I get out of my car and I go home. It's at night, late deacon's meeting. They, you know, talk, talk, talk. And I get home, like, I just stop for a second. I just look up at the stars and just, I'm just blown away. It just amazes me. As much glory as can be seen in a night sky like that, God's word tells us that there is a greater glory that's much closer, much smaller, and much more foolish and weak. You and me. Listen to verses 3 through 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, angels, the seraphims, right? And crowned him with glory and honor. The only thing more glorious than us, according to Psalm 8, is God himself, and that's amazing. And not only has God shared his glory above and beyond that, he's actually also given us some of his own sovereignty as well. Some of his majestic rule over his creation he has given to us. Verses 6 through 8. You made him, speaking of humans, ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the bird of the air, the fish of the sea, and all that swim the paths of the sea. While God rules over creation ultimately, since he alone is God, he has called us to govern some of his sovereignty as well. Some of the majestic rule has been given to us as his representatives. God has placed everything under our feet, as verse 6 tells us. Now, it's interesting, this phrase, you put everything under his feet, we find this also, this phrase, in the New Testament as well. But in the New Testament, it doesn't refer to us anymore. Let me share you the two places we find it. In 1 Corinthians 15:25, Paul says, "For Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." And in Ephesians 1:22, God placed all things under Christ's feet. So we have to ask, why do the New Testament authors ascribe this rule to Jesus when in Psalm 8, this rule was given to us? We were the ones made rulers over all creation. God put everything under our feet. Well, here's the answer. We were created by God to rule over his creation. But when we sinned against him, we forfeited that privilege and responsibility. If you were commanding an army, and one of the officers who reports directly to you was undermining you, not listening to your orders, doing his own thing, he would no longer be one of your officers. He has forfeited that right. If you were a celebrity, and you had, celebrities have their representatives, have their agents. If a celebrity has one of her representatives out there bad-mouthing her to the media, selling secrets to the tabloids, then that representative is no longer representing her. That representative is ultimately representing herself. And that is what happened to us when we stopped representing God. We can no longer be his representative in his glory and rule. And if that's true for celebrities and sergeants, how much truer is that for God Almighty? But the good news is that God sent another representative, who, according to Hebrews 1:3, was the exact representation of God's being. But amazing, was also our representative as well. God sent his son Jesus on behalf of us to fulfill what we did not and could not. And that's how great God is. He can take even the corruption of his greatest creation and turn it into something amazing, not through power and strength, but through weakness by becoming one of us, and through foolishness by bearing the cross. As 1 Corinthians 1:25 says again, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And that's just another way of saying what Psalm 8 begins and ends with. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And it is this psalm, Psalm 8, that was the inspiration behind an old Swedish poem called O Store Good. Or you may know it as our final hymn this morning, How Great Thou Art. So please, if you're able, stand as we sing together our final hymn, The hymn based on Psalm 8, How Great Thou Art. Number 4.